जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरण अरविंद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। गंगमय की यमुनामय की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की कलियुगपावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। You're saying something, Madhavi? You're saying something? You need light. Okay. We'll start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om. ते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकय चक्षुरन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादं सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
कृष्ण। I offer my humble obeisances to all the devotees. This morning, we were discussing the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, at the age of 5, chanted the holy name of Lord Vasudeva with the inspiration of Mother Suniti and with the instruction of Narada Muni. He was chanting the holy name of Vasudeva. This mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya mantra, he was chanting for 6 months, and he received rare benedictions from the Lord and the darshan of the Lord at such a tender age. And as he grew up, he took up the responsibility of the kingdom of his father Uttanapad, and he was righteously ruling. And when his brother Uttama was unceremoniously killed by a yaksha, Dhruva Maharaj went to punish the yakshas. And he was confused. Initially, he was able to fight with great determination, and he could defeat this 130,000 yakshas who just ran away from the battlefield. Then these yakshas came back with greater force. They created some magical illusions that completely bewildered and confused Dhruva Maharaj. He just could not do anything. So in such a predicament, some great Vaishnava sages came to rescue Dhruva Maharaj by reminding him the holy name of Narayana. Please remember holy name of Narayana and release Narayanastra to dispel all these illusions. Then Dhruva Maharaj released Narayanastra and dispelled all the illusions. So we were drawing some parallels between this episode of Dhruva Maharaj and one's own sadhaka life. Whenever we are bewildered by Maya, whenever Maya presents so many temptations and allurements and distractions, only devotees come to our rescue and remind us to take shelter of the holy names of the Lord and thus we can come out of the allurement of Maya. And later, Dhruva Maharaj now settled down nicely. He dispelled all the delusions and he continued to fight with the Yakshas. But again, he was little distracted from within. Initially, Dhruva Maharaj's distraction or confusion or bewilderment was because of some external forces. Yakshas were attacking from outside. But later, Dhruva Maharaj was able to manage. He tolerated and he counteracted the obstacles presented by the Yakshas externally. But at one stage in the fight, he had to deal with the internal distractions, internal problems. He became a victim of his own excessive anger. Hare Krishna. Iswarane Sachanandana Swami Maharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna. Initially, Dhruva Maharaj had to deal with the difficulties presented by the Yakshas externally. Later, Dhruva Maharaj had to deal with his own lack of self-control. Internally, he was getting excessively angry. He lost discrimination. He lost discretion. Just for one Yakshas mistake, he was killing all the Yakshas. So, in our sadhaka life also, in the initial days, we have to fight with the obstacles presented by the external world. So many people, sometimes family members also, sometimes the society, so many external forces will create so many obstacles for our enthusiasm to subscribe to the devotional path and follow this devotional path. But after some time, after practicing bhakti for some time, all the external forces will calm down, internal forces will begin. Right? So how many of you had some objections from your family members when you took up to bhakti? Here, I had. Many of us had. But because they were saying no, we want to say yes. Sometimes their obstacles also, instead of discouraging us, will invoke our fighting spirit and, no, I will do. Don't go to temple. I will go to temple. Don't associate with Hare Krishnas. I will associate with them. So there is some adventurous spirit. There is a newness in the experience. There is freshness in the experience. Mangalarti is new. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is new. Tulsi Arati is new. Sitting with 100 devotees is new. Deities are new. Dhams are new. Yatras are new. Bhagavatam is new. All the pastimes of Bhagavatam are new for a beginner in Krishna consciousness. But over a period of time, we become familiar with everything. At least, most of the things. We went to few Vrindavan Yatras, few Mayapur Yatras, few other dhams we visited. We have been chanting 16 rounds for a while. And we have known many devotees. We have worked with them, we served with them, we worked under them, and we have seen deities of multiple temples. We read most of the pastimes and we have heard most of the pastimes. After all this newness and adventurous spirit is over, then the real struggle begins. So then internally the mind will start meditating on the previous pleasures. I have already experienced all yatras, mangalartis, pastimes, holy name, mantras. But anything new? Same thing you have to do whole life. Same mantra you have to chant whole life. Same dhams you have to go. Every Kartik yatra, same Damodar Leela. Same Govardhan Leela. same pastimes. So then something inside, some material part of our heart inside desires for something new. Then one may become little excessively aggressive in exploring different venues to keep oneself excited. Some of them may not be very devotional. Some of them may seem apparently devotional, but they may be inherently non-devotional. Although the activity may be devotional, the intent behind doing that activity may not be devotional. After 10 years also one may study the same episode, but this time the intent is little different. I want to squeeze out some speculative lessons and then excite people. I have to add some masala and then jokes and then enthuse people. Make them laugh so that I can get some claps. Or many other adventures. So let's not discuss examples of all that. So in short, the enthusiasm that when a sadhaka may show in the initial days of Krishna consciousness could be because of the freshness of the experience or the newness of this adventure. But over a period of time, our real taste will be revealed to us. And how much are we committed to follow the same path for a long, long time. And sometimes one may become little susceptible to different anarthas who are still lingering within the heart or sleeping within the heart, and Maya will present a bigger test at that time. So yakshas kind of became weak. So yakshas could not fight back with Dhruva Maharaj. He was able to defeat them easily. Similarly, gross distractions in spiritual life may not affect a seasoned sadhaka. But what affected Dhruva Maharaj during the fight is the internal distraction. He became a victim of anger unknowingly. So what could attack a seasoned sadhaka may not be some external allurement. He may not still be meditating on eating meat or wearing a colorful dress, new hairstyles, what the excitements they had earlier. That may not disturb a person. So one is happy with the Vaishnava attire and Vaishnava lifestyle externally, but internally some other excitement will creep in, some other desires will creep in. Desire for name, fame, prestige, public attention, many other things. That is also Maya, another form of Maya. There is gross lust, there is subtle lust. So as one spends more time, one has to, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, one has to be careful about the weeds. Along with the devotional creeper, some weeds also keep growing. So as a cultivator of this crop, we have to pluck out the weeds also time to time to keep the nourishment going to the Bhakti Lata only. The fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a beautiful analogy. Prabhupada gives in one purport, in the Prithu episode, I think. He says, two analogies, let me present both. Just imagine there is a beautiful drinking water lake in a village, and that is meant for good purposes where people can drink that water, and that water can be used to nourish crops and some plants that give flowers and fruits. But if some poisonous plants and unnecessary grasses grow on the bank of that lake, they may suck away all this water which is meant for better purposes. Similarly, if we don't use that water of our consciousness, if we don't engage that water, pure drinking water of our consciousness, in Krishna conscious activities like Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, that consciousness may be sucked away by these poisonous plants and unnecessary weeds that grow on the bank of the lake. What are these unnecessary weeds? This desire for sense gratification, name, fame, adoration, and all the other external stuff, adventurous spirit, this and that. So one has to ensure that while engaging in the nine practices of bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, one has to also protect oneself from being distracted by other allurements presented by Maya. They are more serious. The 10th canto of Bhagavatam gives another analogy. In the 10th canto, 20th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami describes monsoon in Vrindavan. We are in winter in Vrindavan. There is monsoon in Vrindavan. Sukadeva Goswami presents so many life lessons while describing various features of monsoon in Vrajabhumi. He says, during monsoon, there is profuse quantity of rain falling from the sky. And the farmer has to raise mud banks on all four sides of the crop to retain all this water for the plants within this field, rice field. Whenever there is excessive water, he will just, you know, keep some opening in this mud bank, and from there the excess water will come. But when the monsoon becomes autumn, water will not come from the sky as profusely as it used to be in monsoon. Then what will he do? He will close the mud bank. He will close that opening so that all this water is within the field only. It doesn't come out. So just as this farmer is so careful to ensure that all the water in the field goes to the plants only, similarly a sadhaka also has to ensure that all our consciousness goes on Krishna related activities only. Whether it is Bhagavatam or chanting or Vaishnava Seva or any other devotional activities. But if that consciousness is allowed to get diverted in many other unnecessary things, then that the water that is supposed to go to the plant will not go. Plant will not get the nourishment. Bhakti Lata will not get that nourishment. So these are various examples presented by Prabhupada's purports and Srimad Bhagavatam, that as we are spending more and more time in the path of bhakti, we need to be a little more careful about the subtle anarthas or subtle material distractions that might creep in into our bhakti path. That's what we can learn from Dhruva's episode. We can learn many other things, but these are a few reflections. When Dhruva Maharaj was not troubled by the yakshas anymore, he was troubled by his own anger later. Then also Swayambhumanu came and said, hey, stop, you are being excessively angry. Earlier the problem was caused by yakshas, later the problem was caused by his own lack of self-control. So similarly in our bhakti path also, sometimes problems come from outside, sometimes come from inside also. In both cases, only devotees will rescue us. In both cases, only holy name can rescue us. Only taking shelter of Krishna, Charanagati of Krishna will rescue us. Initially, the determination is high. We need to just maintain the determination to protect ourselves from other allurements, whether they come from inside or outside. In the Mukundamala Stotra, there is a beautiful shloka. One of our friends is saying, this morning he did not quote a single shloka. He's saying it's a historic class, you didn't quote a shloka. So let me not give another historic class now. There's a beautiful shloka in the Mukundamala Stotra where Kulashekhar Alwar says, Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Shri Krishna padambujan Nindantu priya bandhava gurujana Grihanantu munchantu va Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja Vamshe kalankostu va Tadrik priyamadharanu raga madhuna Mattayamanam tume. This shloka says, despite all kinds of obstacles, whether external, internal or internal, generally external in this shloka, a devotee is rooted in Krishna consciousness. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi. Let my mind not get distracted from Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, even for one moment. Chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan. What can distract our consciousness? What can divert our consciousness from Sri Krishna padambuja? Nindantu priya bandhava guru jana grihanantu munchantu va. Nindantu, Sometimes a devotee is criticized. By whom? Bandhava, one's own relatives will criticize. In Prahlad Maharaj's case, his own relatives criticized, his own father criticized him. Nindantu priya bandhava. His teachers, Shanda and Namarka, criticized him. Gurujana grahanantu munchantuva. Sometimes our family members and superiors and elders and society may accept us or may not accept us. Right. But chittam naiva nivartate kshanamapi Sri Krishna padambujan. Nindantu priya bandhava gurujana grahanantu munchantuva. Let them accept me or let them reject me, but I will not give up Krishna. Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostuva. Durvadam means gossip. Let people gossip about me. Let people spread rumors about me. Prahlad Maharaj, when he was doing Hari Bhakti, so many rumors were spreading. And Prahlad Maharaj, oh, that son of king of demons became a devotee of the enemy of demons. Hari. This Prahlad is giving up Hiranyakashipu and taking shelter of Hari. So such a shame, such a humiliating experience. Where will Hiranyakashipu hide his face? If some demon says, your own son is worshipping your enemy Hari. What a shame, what a shame. Hiranyakashipu is feeling very ashamed, very embarrassed. And there is gossip in this kingdom. People are commenting. Prahlad Maharaj, what are you doing? You are worshipping Hari. Nobody in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu is worshipping Hari. Either voluntarily or enthusiastically or because of being threatened, nobody is worshipping Hari. Even the devatas are also saying, Hira Hira, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipu, not Hari Hari. Right? Even sun and moon also, they are moving according to the movements of the eyebrows of Hiranyakashipu. If it is like this, sun has to reduce his temperature to give him some like warmth, not so much heat. Moon has to change his temperature. Without tilling the lands, earth has to offer all kinds of vegetables and grains. So without exploring or without diving deep, the ocean has to present all the jewels to Hiranyakashipu. Please, these are my offerings, tax for you. So entire universe is submitting to Hiranyakashipu, and here is one little kid, 5-year-old child, saying, no, I will not say Hira Hira, I will say Hari Hari. Right? And there is gossip about him. Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostuva. Vamshe kalanka, some people criticized Hiranyakashipu. His own teacher Shanda and Amarka criticized Prahlad Maharaj, saying that you are bringing vamsha kalanka. Vamsha means dynasty. Kalanka means a bad reputation. So, you are born in such a great dynasty of demons, which is like a sandalwood forest. But you are acting like a handle to the axe that cuts that sandalwood trees in the forest. That axe is Vishnu, handle is Prahlad Maharaj. So, with this axe, the sandalwood forest is being cut. That's how he's criticized. Vamshe kalankostava. As we say, Surya Vamsha, Chandra Vamsha, Samadhar Vamsha, in which, and Samadhar dynasty in which Lord Krishna has appeared. So it's a demon dynasty. But still, demons are proud of their dynasty. And they are thinking that there's a devotee in our dynasty, that means he's a Vamsha Kalanka. Our dynasty is like it's a clean white cloth, and Prahlad is like a black mark on this. They were thinking like that. Gossip about him. Durvadam parighoshayantu manuja vamshe kalankostuva tadrik prema dharanu raga madhuna mattayamanam tumi. But Prahlad was experiencing prema, love of Krishna within his heart. He was experiencing the embrace of Krishna, Govinda Parirambhita. He was experiencing that embrace of Krishna. And also, the 7th chapter of 5th canto of Bhagavatam describes that Prahlad Maharaj is naturally attracted to Krishna, just as iron particle is naturally attracted to magnet. This morning at the foothills of Govardhan, Sri Sachinandan Swami Maharaj is quoting that shloka of Rupa Goswami from Padyavali. Just like young boys and young girls are naturally attracted to each other, spontaneously attracted to each other for sense gratification, some physical attraction. Similarly, a devotee also aspires to get naturally attracted to Krishna, just like iron particles naturally get attracted to magnet. So Prahlad Maharaj's attraction is like that. So when we are developing that attraction, in the beginning days, outside forces try to demotivate us, discourage us, distract us, deviate us from the path, but we are fixed up. But more dangerous than this phase of spiritual life is when we are little more seasoned, when we are little more experienced, then the internal distractions overwhelm us. So somehow we pass it through the phase of being fixed up in the practice despite so many external distractions. But the next challenge is when internal distractions are there, we need to be still fixed up in the practice. So what facilitates that being fixed up in this practice? Devotees, holy name. Same solution, whether the problem is new or old, problem is for a new beginner bhakta or a seasoned bhakta, Shravanam, Kirtanam are the only solutions. Ichchatam akato bhayam harer namanu kirtanam. That's the only solution. Harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalau nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyatha. There is no other gati. Holy name is the only way. And that holy name, when chanted in the association of devotees, inspired by the devotees, that will carry greater potency. So they will remind us, devotees will remind us when we are chanting together. When we are dozing off, somebody will wake up, Prabhu, get up, get up. Ah, yes, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So chanting in the association of devotees. Yesterday we were discussing this evening, Vaishnava Seva and Namakirtan. So be in touch with Vaishnava, Sarudham, and also chant the holy names. So these are some lessons that we can learn from Dhruva's episode, and Maharaj requested to speak a little bit about the role of holy name in Dhruva Maharaj's story towards the end of his life. In this way, Dhruva Maharaj ruled the kingdom for 36,000 years. And when exactly during this 36,000 years, this Yaksha killed Uttama, I don't know. I don't remember reading it anywhere or hearing it anywhere, but somewhere during in the middle of his life it happened. After he became the king, after he got married, he got some children, someday it happened. So he ruled for 36,000 years and he retired. He went to Badrikashram. There were so many yogis there. He associated with them. He did some Ashtanga yoga practice. Then suddenly one day Vaikuntha airplane came. Now Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in his purports to 4th canto 12th chapter, he writes that why did Dhruva Maharaj do some Ashtanga yoga practice in his last days? You had that question? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says he never had any time to do Ashtanga yoga, just because many other yogis are there who are prominently the followers of Ashtanga yoga, just to be with them, just to maintain some compatibility with them, he just did for 1 or 2 days. But he did not have time to do Ashtanga yoga. He is so absorbed in Saravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Chakravarti Pad clarifies it. Although in Bhagavatam, there are descriptions where several devotees like Prithu Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, many of them, it's described that they have left the bodies in a yogic way. Or they did some kind of Ashtanga practice in the end of their life. No, it seems like that apparently, because it's a popular practice in those days, in those yugas. They apparently seem to practice that, but actually they read Sravanam Kirtanam if they're pure devotees. So suddenly one day, this Vaikuntha airplane comes to take Dhruva Maharaj back to Godhead, to Vaikuntha Loka. Then Dhruva Maharaj was surprised. Was shocked. Of course, he heard 36,000 years back that Vaikuntha airplane will come to take him. Actually, he will go to Vaikuntha. Other details are not given. But still, when it came, he was a bit shocked or little anxious or tense or he did not know what to do exactly. He was puzzled. That's the right word. He was puzzled. So in such a quote-unquote positively confused state of mind, in that shock, in that puzzling period, he did not know what to do. He just chanted the holy names of the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. He says, whether it is in happiness or distress, whether you know what to do or you don't know what to do, all you need to do is chant the holy names of the Lord. Maybe we can read that purport. Someone has Vedabhyas folio on your smartphone or laptop or iPad or 4th canto 12th chapter. It comes somewhere in 20s. I don't exactly remember the number. It's a shloka where Vaikuntha airplane descends and Dhruva Maharaj sees them and he gets puzzled. And Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport saying that devotee always chants the holy names of the Lord. He describes the significance of chanting. Varna Prabhu, you found something? Let's read it. Very beautiful purport. You gave me the... Yeah, like Hanuman. When he did not find Sanjeevani herb, he got the whole mountain. He's giving the whole Vedabhyas to me. No, no. I want a specific purport.
It's a 7th chapter. You didn't mention.
I said 12th chapter. Yeah. Got it. Thank you. Prabhupada writes. I'm reading Prabhupada's purport. Chanting of the holy names of the Lord is perfect in every way. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Vishnu Dutas, the direct associates of Lord Vishnu, four-handed and nicely decorated, he could understand who they were, but for the time being he was puzzled. But simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, he could satisfy the uncommon guests who had all of a sudden arrived before him. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord is perfect. Even though one does not know how to please Lord Vishnu or his associates, simply by sincerely chanting the holy name of the Lord, everything becomes perfect. A devotee, therefore, either in danger or in happiness, constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra. When he is in danger, he is immediately relieved. And when he is in a position to see Lord Vishnu or his associates directly, by chanting this Maha mantra, he can please the Lord. If it is danger, he is relieved. Ichchatam akato bhayam. If he is excited, he is happy. If he is happy and he chants, he will please the Lord. Chanting will please the Lord. As Maharaj was directing us in our guided japa sessions, it is for Krishna, it is for Krishna. Japa is for Krishna. So he will please the Lord by chanting. And this is the absolute nature of the Maha mantra. Either in danger or in happiness, it can be chanted without limitation. So this is how Dhruva Maharaj took shelter of the holy names of the Lord just before even going to Vaikuntha. These are some reflections about Dhruva Maharaj's pastime. Now let's come to today's class. What I am supposed to discuss today. There are some reflections. You can do this after we complete our discussion. So today I am planning to discuss three qualities of Krishna's name. Three qualities of Krishna's name. There are unlimited qualities of Krishna's name. And because Krishna and his name are non-different, whatever qualities Krishna has, devotee also has. As simple as that. So there are 64 qualities of Krishna. Krishna's name also can have the 64 qualities. Because abhinnatva nama naminoho. The name and the possessor of the name are non-different. But we'll discuss three qualities of Krishna's name based on the shloka of Sikshashtakam. Second shloka of Sikshashtakam says, Namna makari bahudha nija sarva shikti tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kalaha. You got these sheets? Maybe you can distribute. Yeah. So what we are going to do now is, we'll recite this shloka, second shloka of Sikshashtakam, and we will learn the meaning of every single phrase of this shloka, and we'll meditate on it. For 1 hour we'll meditate on this every single phrase of that shloka, and while going through this we'll understand there are three qualities of Krishna's name revealed in this shloka. All of you know the shloka. Namna makari bahudha nija sarva shaktihi tatrarpita niyamitaha smarane nakalaha. Etadrishi tavakrupa bhagavan mamapi durdaiva midrishamiha jani na anuragaha. This is the shloka. Now, let's, all of you know the shloka, even if you have not received the sheet yet, you can just follow. First, namna makari bahudha. What does it mean? The Lord has so many names, unlimited names. Namna makari bahudha means the Lord has unlimited names. As we are discussing, probably you can write some selected points on the sheet. So I have divided this shloka into five parts, five phrases, five statements, and under each statement you can write few important points there. And I have given only one shloka under each section so that it doesn't become voluminous. In our discussion, we can discuss more shlokas and more pastimes and stories and insights and lessons. But just one shloka I have given so that you can carry home one shloka at least. So first part is Namna Makari Bahudha. What does it mean? Krishna has Bahudha, unlimited names, multiple names he has. All the names of Krishna can be divided into two categories. You can write the two categories on your sheet. So by the end of our 1 hour session, this paper can be full. So the Lord has multiple names. They can be divided into two categories. They are Mukhya Nama and Gauna Nama. Mukhya Nama means primary names. Gauna Nama means secondary names. Right? What are these Mukhya Nama? Mukhya Nam, the primary names of the Lord. Primary names of the Lord are those that describe the Lord's Swarupa, the Lord's personality, the Lord's intrinsic characteristics, right? His own personal qualities, right? They are called Mukhya Nam. And also these names completely represent the Lord. They are called Mukhya Nam. Understood the definition of Mukhya Nam? Second is Gauna Nam. Gauna Nama means secondary names. What are the secondary names? The secondary names of the Lord do not completely represent His personality. They don't fully describe His Swarupa. They partially describe some of His selected potencies, some of His selected activities, some of His selected qualities. Some of them are circumstantial, but they don't completely represent Him. Clear? So these are the two types of Krishna's names, Mukhya Nama and Gauna Nama. Let's go back to Mukhya Nama once again. This Mukhya Nama is of two categories, two types. You're able to follow, right? Simple. So Mukhya Nama has two more subcategories. One is Madhurya Nama, second is Aishwarya Nama. Madhurya Nama means sweet names of the Lord. They're very, very sweet. They describe Krishna's sweetness. And Aishwarya Nam are those names which are more reverential. Means they describe the Lord's majesty, grandeur, opulence. But Madhurya Nam describe Krishna's sweetness, innocence, simplicity, Vrindavan form, like that. Now let's see some examples, then things will become clear. Let's see the examples for Mukhya Madhurya Nam. Right? Means under Mukhya category, Madhurya Nam. Sweet names. Krishna is the sweetest name. Kanaya. Correct? Krishna is all attractive. Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the senses and pleasure to cows. Govindam Kalavenu Vadana Param. Divyanga Bhusham Bhaje. Govinda is doing Kalavenu Vadana. He is very nicely playing his flute. Murali Dhar, Murali Krishna. These are all sweet names of Krishna. Radharaman, Radha Gopinath, Radha Gokulan, all our prominent deities of the Goswamis here. Radha Shamsundar, Shamsundar itself. So they are all Madhurya Nam of Krishna. Then second category under the Mukhya category is Aishwarya Nam, Vasudeva. Is Aishwarya Nam. Vasudeva means all-pervading. Vishnu, Aishwaryana, that presents his majesty, right? Narayana. So these are all Aishwaryana. Many times when the devatas are offering prayers to the Lord, they mostly use this Aishwaryana more than Madhuryana. Once in a while they use Madhuryana also, but they primarily use Aishwaryana. You can read Bhagavatam. You can read Bhagavatam and go through all the prayers of devatas and other places. You will find less reference of Madhurya Naam there and more reference of Aishwarya Naam there, because they connect with the reverential aspect of the Lord. But Vrijavasis and some devotees who are more on this Madhurya platform or the Kevala platform, they use Krishna's intimate names like Govinda, Madhava, Krishna, Makanchor. So Makanchor is a Madhurya Naam. Probably Ranchor is Aishwarya Naam, I don't know. I didn't read this name specifically in the commentaries of Acharyas. By the way, I am presenting this from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Sikshashtakam. It's called Sanmodana Bhashya. Very beautiful commentary. So these are the Mukhya category names. Then what about Gauna? Gauna category names of the Lord present only partial aspect of his personality, like Brahma, Paramatma. Paramatma does not completely represent Krishna's Swarupa, but it's one of the names of the Lord. Oh Paramatma! Me, devotees glorify sometimes in some Devata prayers, you'll find. So that is a Gauna Naam. Brahma, Paramatma, and Upadrashta, Anumanta probably. Srishti Karta, these are all Gauna Naams. Deva, Deva, yeah, maybe it can be in the this category also, Aishwarya category also. Mahabaho, okay, maybe. it's presenting one aspect of the Lord's person. It's okay, we'll not have an exercise now. It's not kids' class. In kids' class, I'll ask people to speak. They'll only speak half, I'll speak half. So, Prema Sankirtan is possible only by chanting the Madhurya Naam or Mukhya Naam. In Gauna Naam, there is no Prema Sankirtan. So, when you are aspiring for Krishna Prema, in the under umbrella of Gaudiya Vaishnava, principles, by chanting Gauna Naams, we cannot get Krishna Prema. By chanting Madhurya Naam and Mukhya Naam only, we can get Krishna Prema. Right? Therefore, we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, understood? The first phrase of this shloka, that is Namna Makari Bahudha, Mukhya Naam, Gauna Naam. Then, second phrase of this shloka is Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrarpita. Means, Nija means the Lord's own, Sarva means all, Shakti means powers. Tatra Arpita means the Lord has invested, the Lord has offered. Arpita means to offer, to invest, to bestow. Tatra means these names. The Lord has given all His powers, all the powers in the Swarupa, the personality of the Lord are invested in the names of the Lord. Which names? Mukhya names, not Gauna names, by the way. That has to be clear. So the Lord has personally invested all the aspects or features of His personality in His Mukhya names. Therefore, the holy name of Krishna is powerful. That's the first quality of Krishna's name, according to this shloka. Clear? I'll elaborate this later, but I'll go to the second quality immediately. Let's give the list of the qualities first. Second, Niyamitaha Smaraneena Kalaha. Right? Niyamita means there is a rule, there is a prescription, there is a policy, there is a protocol. That is called Niyama. Niyamitaha Smaraneena Kalaha. There are no protocols or policies or rules or regulations or restrictions or prescriptions or prohibitions in chanting the names of the Lord, in remembering the names of the Lord. Anytime you can remember, anytime you can chant. So the holy name is most accessible. That is the second quality of holy name. Clear? First quality is the holy name is all powerful. Second quality, the holy name is always accessible. Third quality, Etadrishi Tavakrupa Bhagavan. Oh Bhagavan, Etadrishi Tavakrupa, you have bestowed such great mercy upon us. What is that mercy? You have given us access to holy names. You have made the names as powerful as you. That is your mercy. So, the holy name of the Lord, which is non-different from Krishna, is all merciful. That is the third quality. In short, the three qualities of Krishna's names described in this shloka are: holy name of Krishna is powerful, accessible, and merciful. The last point. Mamapi durdaiva midrishamiha janinna anuragaha. Although you have given all this to us, durdaivam. Keywords in this phrase are durdaivam anuraga. Durdaiva means my misfortune. My greatest misfortune is janinna anuraga. I don't have attraction to chanting the names of the Lord. I don't have the taste. I don't have the natural taste that a young boy has to associate with a young girl, or young girl has to associate with a young boy. I don't have the natural attraction that iron particles has towards a magnet. So I don't have that taste. Morning we were hearing from Maharaj at Govardhan Valley. So there is no taste. Why there is no taste? Because of aparads. Maharaj has explained very elaborately aparads. Now let's go back and revisit. I think Namna Makari Bahudha we sufficiently discussed. Let's go to the first quality. Nija Sarva Shaktihi Tattararpita. The holy names are very powerful. How powerful? We have already discussed in one of the previous sessions. Etan Nirvidyamananam Ichchatam Akutobhayam. So holy name is so powerful that it can destroy all your fears. That's the power of the holy name. Now, holy name can destroy all our sins. Yesterday we discussed. You have the sheet? Yesterday, you can give me also one sheet if you have. Vepante duritani moha mahima sammoha malambate. In that, we have seen so many powers of the holy name. Vepante duritani. You remember what is it? Vepante duritani? All sins are destroyed.
They tremble.
Second is moha mahima sammoha malambate. What does it mean? The illusory energy becomes illusioned, are bewildered. So the holy name of the Lord, the power of the holy name of the Lord is so much that it can bewilder the bewildering energy. Just like you see in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, Brahma came to confuse or to test Krishna, right? To bewilder Krishna, but he himself is bewildered. Similarly, when Maya comes to bewilder a devotee who is chanting the holy names of the Lord, Maya itself will get bewildered. The so-called illusion will get bewildered. So, other powers we discussed. Now, let's discuss this one shloka. So, by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that it can destroy our fears, our sins, our illusions, and many other things. Right? But the holy name of the Lord can even give us liberation. We don't want it, but it will give, right? By the way, sometimes devotees say, liberation, I don't want. Muktim dadati karichit nama samana bhakti yogam. Yes, devotees don't want liberation. Sometimes sadhaka bhaktas also say, I reject liberation. To reject something, you should have it first, right? Sadhaka bhakta is not yet liberated, by the way. Only a bhava bhakta is liberated. For you, If we want to make that statement, I reject liberation, we should perform sadhana bhakti very nicely. We should come to the level of bhava bhakti and we should get liberated and we should say, I reject liberation. Right? Till we attain liberation, how can we reject liberation? We are not liberated yet. Some of you may be, but I am not. So at sadhana bhakti stage, liberation does not manifest. That manifests in the bhava bhakti stage, then one can reject. Right? But holy name will give liberation, which is a part of the package, which may not be very interesting to a devotee, but it will give. This is the shloka. Let's recite the shloka. Madhura madhura metan mangalam mangalanam. Madhura madhura metan mangalam mangalanam. Sakala nigama valli satfalam chitswarupam.
Sakala nigama valli satfalam chitswarupam.
Sakala Nigamavalli Satfalam Chitswarupam. Sakrita Pipari Gitam Shraddhaya Helayava. Bhruguvara Naramatram Tarayet Krishna Nama. The meaning of this shloka is very simple. Madhura Madhura Metan. The holy name of Krishna is Madhura. How Madhura it is? It is the sweetest of all sweet things. Madhura Madhura Metan Mangalam Mangalanam. Of all auspicious things, the most auspicious path is chanting the holy names of Krishna. Sakala Nigamavalli Satfalam Chitswarupam. Sakala Nigama, you compare all the scriptures with a valli, with a creeper. And holy name of the Lord is Satphalam, ripened fruit of that creeper. Chitswarupam, it's totally spiritual. Just like Bhagavatam is compared to the ripened fruit of the desire tree of all Vedic literatures. And holy name of Krishna is compared to a ripened fruit of this creeper of all the scriptures. So we are here in Sharanagati retreat to discuss the glories of Bhagavatam and holy name. Both are fruits. But this is fruit of desire tree, this is fruit of the creeper of all scriptures. Sakala Nigamavalli Satphalam Chitswarupam. Sakritapi Parigitam Shraddhaya Helayava. Sakritapi, even once, Parigitam, chant, if you chant the holy names of Krishna, Shraddhaya, either with faith, Helayava, even with neglect. Sakritapi Parigitam Shraddhaya Helayava. Whether you chant the holy name of Krishna, either with neglect or with eagerness, still. Bhruguvara Naramatram Tarayet Krishna Nama. Krishna Nam is Tarayet. It will liberate us. It will easily liberate us. So that is one aspect of chanting of the holy name. And in this way you can glorify Krishna's holy name's power in unlimited ways. Holy name is powerful. One more shloka.
Alam 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 eka prani nam patakanam nirasana vishayeya krishna krishneti vani yadi bhavati mukunde bhaktirananda sandra karatala kalita sa moksha samrajya lakshmi.
Alam 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 eka prani nam patakanam. Pranis in this world, human beings in this world, they have so many patakas. But holy name of Krishna can destroy all patakas, all sins.
Alam 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 eka praninam patakanam nirasana vishayeya krishna krishneti vani.
Krishna, Krishna, this vani, this sound, Krishna can completely destroy all the sins. Sakritapi parigitam, even if you chant once, it can give you liberation. Krishna Krishneti Vani.
Yadi Bhavati Mukunde Bhaktirananda Sandra.
By chanting the names of Krishna, you will enter into Bhaktirananda Sandra. Bhakti is like an ocean of bliss, Ananda. Sandra means condensed ocean. So by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can enter into the condensed ocean of bliss, spiritual bliss. And at that stage, where you are experiencing the bliss of Ananda, Adhyatmika Ananda, spiritual happiness by chanting the names of the Lord, then
Karatala Kalita Sa Moksha Samrajya Lakshmi.
The Moksha Samrajya Lakshmi, the greatest opulence of the kingdom of liberation, is there in your hands. Karatala. Right? It becomes very easy, effortless for one to attain liberation. Actually, the ananda of being a servant of Krishna is so unlimited that even unlimited happiness of Brahmananda is insignificant in comparison to even a drop of Bhakti Ananda. You want proof? Go to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Dasa Abhimane Ananda Sindhu Koti Brahma Sukhana Hai Tara Eka Bindu. Krishna Dasa Abhimana, the Abhiman, the conception or the emotion of being a servant of Krishna can immerse us in an ocean of Ananda. In comparison to this Ananda, in comparison to a drop of this Ananda, Koti Brahma Sukhana Hai Tara Eka Bindu. You multiply Brahmananda with one koti. Koti means 10 million, 1 crore. That is insignificant. You put 1 crore times of Brahmananda on one side of this balance and you put one drop of Bhakti Ananda here. It will weigh more. That's what the shloka says. That is the power of holy name. Let's go to the second quality. That is accessible. How accessible the holy name is. Okay, let's also discuss some stories connected to each of these three qualities. Mrigari was a sinful hunter, cruel hunter. He takes pleasure in the pain of half-dead animals. Such cruelty. To cut the long story short, Narada Muni told him, give up this sinful activity of killing animals. Break your bow first. Then Mrigari said, how can I break my bow? It's a source of my livelihood. How can I break the source of my livelihood? Source of livelihood? The source of livelihood is Krishna. Krishna created a perfect arrangement in this world. If you take shelter of Krishna, he will definitely supply food. Chant the holy names of Krishna, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you will definitely get your food, Narada Muni said. Somehow, by the divine presence of Narada Muni, this cruel hunter experienced a heart transformation and he broke his bow. So holy name has to be received from a devotee. So he broke his bow. He became a saintly person. He distributed all the wealth that he has acquired to some brahmanas. He started living in a simple cottage along with his wife. He planted a tulsi plant in front of his home. He chanted Hare Krishna constantly. Seeing his saintly demeanor, all the people in the village were daily presenting so many grains and fruits and vegetables and other food items to Mrigari and his family, that although there are two people in his home, he was getting the food of 10-20 people every day. He is getting overwhelmed. I need livelihood, but not so much, not 10 times more than what I require. That's the power of holy name. Holy name has palana shakti. Palana shakti means the power of maintenance. Just like Krishna maintains his devotees, holy name of Krishna also maintains the devotees. That is the power of holy name. Second quality, accessible. How accessible holy name is? Tatrarpita niyamitaha smarani na kalaha. There are no time restrictions. There are no policies or protocols. Anytime you can chant the holy names of the Lord, you will experience the same efficacy in proportion to our absorption. Om apavitra apavitro va sarva vasthangato pivaya smaret pundarikaksham sabahya abhyantar suchi. Once inside and outside is completely cleansed, completely purified by smaran, by doing smaran of the Supreme Lord. Same thing is mentioned. Tatrarpita niyamitaha smarane na kalaha. There is no restriction about remembering the Lord. So, you see, I have given some 5 words here. Time, place, person, situation, purity. Maybe as a part of activity you can reflect on it, but I'll just slightly touch. Time. You get up in the middle of the night, you have some severe headache, or some dogs are barking outside, you could not sleep, or mosquitoes are biting you could not sleep, you got up. Can you enter the DT room and start worshipping the Shaligram or Govardhan Shila? No, you can pick up your bed bag and chant, right? So, even in the middle of the night, middle of the day, at any time one can chant. Of course, that does not mean, we can chant at any time. That does not mean we miss the glorious golden opportunity to chant the rounds in Brahma Muhurta time. So it's a recommendation that we chant early in the morning. But if someone misses that slot, that does not mean He cannot chant at other times. He can chant at any time. So 4:30 Mangalarti, if he miss, no more Mangalarti till the next day. Right? 12:30 Rajbhogarti, if he miss, no more Rajbhogarti till the next day. When the darshan is closed, no more darshan till it opens again. But holy name, darshan is never closed. Holy name, whole 24/7, it's accessible to us. Right? The most accessible form of Krishna is Namavatar. Then place. Where do we chant? Where can we chant? Should we chant only in temple? Should we chant only in a clean room? See, if the surroundings are very dirty, should we not chant? We can chant at any place. That does not mean we deliberately keep our surroundings dirty. That's not the message here. But even if they happen to be dirty, you can chant. So somebody gets admitted in a hospital and is in the hospital. What is the ambience there? All medicines are there and different different injections and stethoscopes and different testing equipments, and nurses are moving around, and so many patients are there, they are painful, and their visitors are coming, their family members are coming. In such an ambience, should we chant? You can chant, not a problem. person, who can chant? Only Brahmana should chant? Or only Sannyasi should chant? Anybody from any background can chant. So there's no restriction on the person. Then situation, some people ask, especially in our new classes, new satsang programs, some people ask, somebody died in our family. Should we chant in the next 11 days? We are not supposed to do any pujas, we should not go to temple. Should we not chant also? You can chant. You can chant as many rounds as you can during this 11 days, during the 11 years, for the rest of your life. And for the rest of eternity you can chant. So there is no problem with the situation. You are whether you are in distress or you are in happiness, you can chant. That's what we saw in Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada is writing, whether you are happy or distressful, you can always chant. Then purity. To do tapa, japa, tapa, homa, and some vigraharadhan. So all these traditional Vedic processes, Vedic study, some purity, some prerequisite is expected from the person who is doing that activity. Anybody and everybody is not admitted into the process of deity worship. Okay, you can enter the temple and then worship the Garbhagriha and dress the deities. No one is admitted immediately without having certain prerequisites. But who can chant? Anybody can chant the holy name. So purity, pure background is not a mandatory item. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just profusely distributing holy name anywhere and everywhere. So purity is not expected. That's why there is a shloka. You can decide this. Nadesha kala niyamo. Nashaucha shaucha nirnayaham. Param sankirtana devam. Rama rameti muchyate. Na desha kala niyamo. So there are no restrictions on desha, place, kala, time. Saucha, saucha nirnayaha. Clean place or unclean place, clean person or unclean person. For example, somebody is sick. He gets up in the morning, he cannot take a bath immediately. For whatever reason, he has fever. Doctor told him, hey, don't take bath today. Should I chant? Can I chant without taking bath? You can chant, no problem. Even without taking bath, you can chant. Not that you deliberately do that. Circumstantially, if one happens to be in a situation where he cannot immediately take a bath for some physical reasons, whether it is cold or sickness or some other cause, or they're traveling, for example, they're traveling overnight, flight is there, 17 hours flight, where will they take bath? So they can always chant at any time. So then, Param Sankirtana Deva Ramarameci Muchyate. So irrespective of under what conditions one chants, one can always attain Krishna's love, Krishna's grace. Let's discuss a story in connection to this quality. Once, a devotee in Jagannath Puri, he is constantly accustomed to chanting the holy names of Krishna. His tongue would not stop only. So one day, he had to attend nature call. So he was going to a place where he can attend his nature call, but his tongue is not stopping chanting only. So he was holding the tongue between his teeth. Some say that he was holding his tongue between his fingers so that he wouldn't chant while doing that dirty activity, right? One little kid saw, small child saw him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm trying to restrain myself from chanting the holy names of Krishna because I came to this filthy place." And this boy asked, "What if you die now? What if death takes place while you are passing water or passing urine or passing stool? You will die without chanting Krishna's names. Death can come at any time. Therefore, wherever you are, whatever you may be doing, you can always chant, internally or externally. Either on beats or off beats, you can always chant." So somehow Mahaprabhu came to hear this interaction, what this boy spoke to this man. Then Mahaprabhu said, "This boy, this Gopal, his name is Gopal, he's playing the role of a guru. He's teaching everyone to chant the holy names of the Lord. From today, he's called Gopal Guru." Right? So, no restrictions in chanting. Third quality. Etadrishi tavakrupa bhagavan. Krishna is so merciful. So, holy names are also so merciful. Let's discuss one little shloka. Atayeva nama matra vaishnavera dharma. Name prasphutita haya rupa guna karma. Krishnera samagra lila name vidyamana. You see, this quality is that how holy name is so merciful. Before I discuss this shloka from Harinam Chintamani, let me present a shloka from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is from the first prayer of Prachetas. The shloka says, what was the first prayer of Prachetas? Namo namaha klesha vinashanaya nirupito dara guna vayaya mano vacho vega purojavaya sarvaksha margai ragatadhvane namaha. Namo namaha klesha vinashanaya. The Supreme Lord is known to destroy all the kleshas, all the difficulties in the lives of devotees. Nirupita udara guna vayaya. It has been proved, this conclusion has been settled. What is that conclusion? What is proved here? Udara guna ahvayaya. Guna means Krishna's qualities. Ahvaya means Krishna's names. Udara means they are very magnanimous. So Krishna's names are extremely magnanimous. And this conclusion has been proved in the scriptures and the universal spiritual history. Krishna is very merciful. Krishna's names are very merciful. And the best example for this is Avijamil episode. Ajamil was chanting Narayana, 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 Narayana to call his child Narayana. And that boy Narayana, he is just sitting somewhere and then he is playing with his toys or doing something else. And he is chanting Narayana and this boy has no developed sense to understand the emotions of his father. My father is calling me in so much pain, with so much emotion, with so much love and affection. The boy did not have the ability to understand. He's a small child. The father is in pain and the child is unable to understand. But the Supreme Father understood. Krishna thought. He said Narayana. And he's calling this boy, I understand. But he said Narayana. But is the boy Narayana? No. I am Narayana. Therefore I should respond. So boy is not responding because he is not Narayana. I am Narayana, therefore I should respond. Whether he intended to call me or not, he said my name. And I am Narayana. And Narayana is non-different from the name Narayana. Therefore Narayana responded. He never called you. That's okay. He said my name and me are same. Okay. And that boy is not Narayana anyways. I am Narayana. So let me go and protect him. The Lord is so desperate to give us mercy that directly or indirectly, whether we consciously or unconsciously call him, he will show mercy upon us. So that's why the Lord is so merciful. Name is so merciful. I'll come back to Ajami a little later. Let's discuss this shloka. Atayeva nama matra vaishnavera dharma. So this shloka says, nama matra vaishnavera dharma. The dharma of a Vaishnava The duty of a Vaishnava is nama matra, means just chant the holy names of Krishna. You don't have to do anything else. Even if you are incapable of doing anything, yes, definitely Bhagavatam study and Dham Darshan and all these things will facilitate our absorption in bhakti undoubtedly. We are not belittling or minimizing any other potent form of bhakti at all. But there may be some individuals who may not have the ability to study shastras. Right? They may not be able to read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. They may not know English or Hindi or Sanskrit or anything. They may be illiterate. Or some people may be very old. They may not be able to travel to a dham. If they do Govardhan Parikrama for 3-4 hours, they will collapse for the next 2-3 days. They may not have the physical ability to do. They are very old or very fragile. They have some back pain or leg pain or something like that. Or people may not be able to elaborately worship the deities because of old age or some other physical problem or sickness. So, although there are 5 potent forms of bhakti, Vaishnava Seva, another potent form, one may not be in a position to always serve the Vaishnavas. Right? So, all the 5 potent forms of bhakti are there. The accessibility of holy name of Krishna is more even for those people who are unable to perform the other 4 limbs of bhakti, or other 63 limbs of bhakti, or other 8 processes of bhakti. Circumstantially, because of physical constraints or other constraints, people may not be able to participate in other limbs of bhakti, but this one, even on deathbed, one can chant Krishna, 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 Krishna. Even if they can't chant the full mantra, Hare Krishna, Mahamantra completely, it's Krishna, Rama, some name, if they chant, they can chant, they are able to chant. At least, even if they cannot utter, within the mind it can ring, Krishna, 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 right? So it is most accessible. That's why Atayera Vaishnavera Atayeva Nama Matra Vaishnavera Dharma. Second line. Nama Prasputatahaya Rupa Guna Karma. Atayeva Nama Matra Vaishnavera Dharma. Name Prasputitahaya Rupa Guna Karma. That Nama Prasputitahaya Rupa Guna Karma. Rupa means the form of the Lord. Guna means qualities of the Lord. Karma means leelas, activities of the Lord. So that nama will give us entrance into rupa, guna and leela. That is the power of holy name. That is the mercy of holy name. So if somebody, if you go to some shopping mall and they will give some coupon of, you know, 100 rupees. Okay, you can go and take anything from our shop. 100 rupees free coupon. If you go and take some item which is costing 1,000 rupees or 10,000 rupees with this 100 rupee coupon, will they give? Nay. Anything you pick up within 100, 70 rupees, 80 rupees, say like, not beyond 100, they will say. But here we are chanting only one Naam, right? Naam of Krishna. But that Naam, Krishna, 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 that Naam will give us entrance into Rupa of Krishna, Guna of Krishna, Leela of Krishna. Leela is so elaborate, Naam is so compact. Gunas are unlimited, Naam is very, very compact. Krishna, only 2 syllables, that's all. Rupa, Rupa, like when you have to chant, say Krishna, done. When you have to decorate the deities, dress the deities, my God, you have to put dhoti, you have to put kurta, you have to put uttariya, you have to put so many necklaces and jewelry all over the body, earrings and turban. Tying turban will take, you know, 1 year for some people or 1 hour for some people. Right? It's very elaborate. Many times darshans become delayed. You can ask seasoned deity worshippers why there is delay today. Kalakar, pujari is a kalakar. So he's taking more time to tie turban, peacock feather. So it takes a lot of time. So rupa is elaborate. Barha Pidam Natavarabhu, you can just go through Bhagavatam shlokas where Krishna's Rupa is described very elaborately. But this one Nama Krishna can give us entrance into Rupa, Guna, Leela. My God, it's so magnanimous with 100 rupee coupon. Of course, we are not comparing Krishna Nam with 100 rupee coupon, by the way. But I'm just saying that it's so simple. Chanting the name of the Lord is so simple.
simpler than dressing a deity, simpler than studying a scripture, simpler than going through the 64 qualities of Krishna described by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Simpler than Hare Krishna. I can't shout. What's the time now?
6:20. Sound system.
Hare Krishna. We have a portable sound system now. Can you hear me? Those devotees at the end?
Yes.
And the chairs? Hare Krishna. So, this Naam will give us entrance into Rupa, Guna and Leela. That's what this shloka says. So, Krishnera Samagra Leela Name Vidyamana. Samagra Leela means all the pastimes of Krishna are revealed to you when you chant the holy names of Krishna sincerely. Without reading Bhagavatam also. I'm not belittling the importance of reading Bhagavatam. I myself am a fan of, big fan of Bhagavatam. But still, the holy name is so merciful that even if somebody is unable to study elaborate scriptures and understand the finer nuances of scriptures, holy name of Krishna will reveal all the pastimes of the Lord that are described in the scriptures, right? So that is the power of holy name. Then last point, I'll conclude at 6:30. Mamapi durdaiva midrishamiha janina anuragaha. All the holy name is powerful, merciful and accessible. Still, our durdaivam, our misfortune is na anuragaha. There is no taste. We don't have sufficient taste. Why? Because of offenses. Maharaj has given an elaborate class on this in the afternoon. I don't need to elaborate at all. We'll conclude with this one little shloka there.
Nāmāparādhayuktānāṁ nāmānyevaharantyagham avishranti prayuktāni tānyevārtha karānicha.
So how to overcome this nāmāparādh? By chanting the names of the Lord. So, this morning in Japatak we were hearing from His Holiness Sajjanandana Swami Maharaj. Hearing will lead to more hearing. Chanting will lead to more chanting. If you want to perfectly do worship, continue to worship. If you want to nicely hear, continue to hear. If you want to understand Bhagavatam, continue to read Bhagavatam. If you want to nicely chant, chant. Continue to chant. So, how to overcome offenses in chanting? Continue to chant. If a patient says, I will not take medicine, and you ask, why are you not taking medicine? He says, I am sick, therefore I am not taking medicine. Does it make any sense? I am so sick, therefore I am unable to take medicine. If a patient says like this, it doesn't make any sense. Similarly, if a sadhaka or if a conditioned soul says, I am so conditioned, therefore I am unable to chant. I am so distracted, therefore I am unable to chant. I am so offensive, therefore I am unable to chant. Because you are offensive, because you are conditioned, because you are merciful, you have to chant. This is the medicine. That's what we need to communicate. That's what we need to communicate ourselves first. So by chanting, one can overcome aparads, unknown offenses, as Maharaj said. Maharaj divided offenses into two. Knowingly and unknowingly. So unknown offenses can be overcome, but knowingly, deliberately, if somebody commits offenses, then repeated chanting may not eradicate that, but we need to pray. Morning we have heard elaborately. I think I'll conclude here. I'll now request Sachinandan Swami Maharaj to speak a few words, comments, blessings, so that
Hare Krishna, can I just first ask a question? Where do we find this very, very good verse, Deva Nama Mata Vaishnavi Radhana?
Hari Bhakti Vilas.
Hari Bhakti Vilas, acha. most properly the 11th chapter, or the 11th vilas of
second chapter.
Oh, good. Fine, yeah.
Okay, thank you. That's much better.
Yeah, this was again a very wonderful shloka as our class, and I am very happy to hear this verse from and heard by how Dhruva at the very end of his life, when he was so bewildered by seeing the Vaikuntha airplane, how he Hare Krishna, that created everything. By the way, I want to say Gauranga Dashan Prabhu, we are Vrindavan. Vrindavan means unexpected circumstances.
Spontaneity.
you come from a very highly developed Govardhan Eco village.
We also experience power cuts, Maharaj.
So, this is to be expected in Vrindavan, no problem.
For about a decade, in Govardhan Eco village, we have power cut throughout one day. Thursday, every Thursday, we have no power only.
Oh, yeah, really.
We live for like for more than a decade.
Good. So, you know. I just want to contribute to this wonderful session one point. That is what we call a cognitive dissonance for most of us. That is, although we hear about the amazing results of chanting, although we hear that the name is powerful and accessible and merciful, and we have faith in it based on the wonderful shlokas and wonderful examples in our own cognition, in our own experience, there is something else going on. We may be unconcentrated when we chant and have a little taste. During the kirtan, we don't feel the
joy. We may not feel the joy
all this. And this is, as far as I know, a cognitive dissonance. It's a big problem for us. And we should know how we can solve this. One recommendation, both from the Padma Purana and from Sanatana Goswami, is to just continue chanting. But Sanatana Goswami offers a very, very important side sentence to this. It's not just continue the way you chanted, it is continue with Nam Sharanam, taking shelter at the Holy Name. It is said in the Bhagavatam, when Lord Krishna went with Nanda Baba and the Brajbasis to Ambika Kalna, we hear that is somewhere in the area of Madhuban, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, to worship Lord Shiva. A terrible accident happened. Nanda Maharaj, in the midst of the night, was attacked by a snake and devoured by it. Now the cowherd men heard his cries for help and came, and they took burning logs of wood to attack the snake. And but the snake was so powerful, it just continued swallowing. We have here seen at Govardhan, crossing the road, a python, which was also so big that it could definitely swallow
Gauranga Das and Satchidananda Swami together. It was huge. So Nanda Maharaj saw my cowherd friends, although very experienced cowherders who protect their birds from dangerous snakes and so on, are powerless here. And he chanted, so he understood there's no use. So he began to chant the names of Krishna. And Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhadu. But he, being the father of Krishna, had to learn also to chant with the mood of full surrender to Krishna. You know, he used to say many times, Krishna, Krishna, and call him Gopal, come here, bring my shoes, and so on. But now, when he was in danger, he needed to change and chant with full surrender. It was a different situation than calling him, calling his boy to bring the butter pot or to bring something or to sit down with him. It was calling for him for his protection in a dangerous situation and with Sharanagati. And of course he did so. And then Krishna came and helped. It is a recurring theme. You cannot just chant Krishna's name in an offhanded way, perhaps like you call a waiter in a restaurant, come here, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You do need to add to your chanting a particular quality that is surrender. For me, as a someone who is trying to present the Hare Krishna mantra chanting wherever I can go, wherever I'm invited, it is clear to me that the holy name demands surrender. For instance, even when I'm tired or not tired, if I'm asked to chant, I never say no. I surrender to the holy name. Or when we chant, and in the beginning, I must say, because I'm not a good chanter by no means, it is difficult for me. It's so hot, and to be very honest, I also have a very private side to myself. I do not really. I'm a little shy before audiences of big magnitudes and so on. And I cannot immediately access the holy name because I'm distracted and covered and so on. But I always know, now I need to surrender. Or sometimes, we preach till early in the morning. Best people are up in the evening and the night, as you know, as a preacher. So we come late to bed and then we get up and we are tired. We feel as if someone has beaten us the whole night. We feel so bad. But I always think, you know, let me now first sit down and chant, although it is difficult. And I have seen over the years these statements of chant with taking surrender, with surrender. Only then it works. Only then the holy name reveals itself with this cognitive dissonance from which we suffer. That is, we hear one thing and experience another. that it will disappear and we think, wow, it's all true. Now, I want to just bring this point from this morning also when Sanatana Swami says, the Padma Purana explains, just continue chanting and then the effects of Nama Parada.
But Sanatana Goswami tells as the, I think he is the guru for Sambandha, for making connection. He says, we must take shelter in the holy name. It's really like, I'm sorry, I'm so bad, please give me shelter. Then the holy name responds. This is very important, my dear devotees. You need to learn how to take shelter at the holy name. Not just chant mindlessly, absent-mindedly, without going into the depths, without just with your physical body, without the involvement of your mind and your emotions and yourself. It will take thousands, millions of births before you can taste anything if you don't make that switch in the consciousness. Sorry, well, was it all right, or was I a little insistent here, because yeah, this cognitive dissonance is a huge problem in spiritual life. Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Should we take questions now or do this reflection? What is the
question and answers could be a way of reflecting and churning the subject matter. It's up to you, Gauranga Dasha.
Maybe we can take questions, Maharaj, yeah. Because yeah. I did not take in the morning also, yesterday also, somehow we didn't get time. This is homework for you. Any questions or comments? If nobody has questions, then you can do this. Yes, Mother. Yeah, you can.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you so much. I'm just interested to know your personal perspective on when somebody has more taste for some other devotional service other than the holy name. That's a deep devotion, or maybe vandana in prayers, or how do you see this?
We discussed, I think, yesterday or maybe yesterday, Mahaprabhu was saying that other limbs of bhakti, other eight processes of bhakti are not complete without kirtana. If somebody is more into deity worship or Bhagavat Sravan, naturally there is some involvement of chanting the holy limbs of the Lord. Those who are doing Shodashopachara Puja or Shaligram Puja or Manas Puja, there is lot of, even while doing Achaman also you have to chant the holy names of the Lord. So holy name is an integral part in all the other potent limbs of bhakti. But there is a stage in one's life where one may not be able to actively do deity worship because of some natural physical illness or old age. So at the time the devotee who has been actively doing the deity worship will chant primarily, and other limb one may allow others to do, other devotees to do. Same thing with Bhagavatam study or Dham Darshan or Vaishnava Seva. So, but holy name can be chanted till the fag end of life, even on deathbed. So that's most accessible form, that's the whole thing. So if somebody with in youth and with a healthy body, if they have the ability to do other limbs more, at least basic quota of chanting of 16 notes must be done. So you can just read Bhagavatam for 8 hours and chant for 2 hours. You can do deity worship for 10 hours and then do chanting for 16 rounds for 2 hours. But ultimately, we have to take shelter of holy name. Does it make sense? Maharaj, you want to add anything?
Okay. Yes, next question.
Hare Krishna. I was wondering when I came to this Kuvera giving blessings to Dhruva. Kuvera giving blessings to Dhruva for unflinching devotion. So I was always wondering, is that, you know, if you want to give something, you have to have it. Or there is some other principle there that works, like some authority, can Krishna bless, or can you put some light on that?
Thank you for asking this question, trying to explore the finer nuance of how someone can offer something that one does not have fully. So we discussed this topic from Dhruva's perspective. From Dhruva's perspective, so Dhruva asked Kuvera, I want unflinching remembrance of Krishna. Because he was thinking that, oh, when a great soul like Kuvera is displeased, I won't be able to remember Krishna. So may he be pacified, may he be satisfied, may he completely forgive me, may he not hold any resentful feelings towards me, and let me just remember Krishna. That is from his perspective. So, from the perspective of the giver of blessing, there is a deeper principle. Blessings are beyond the giver. What is a blessing? Not that somebody raises his hands like this, I bless you, may you have wealth, may you have name, may you have fame, may you have this or that. That's not the, that can be, but that's not the core essence of giving a blessing. When I sincerely render some service which pleased another Vaishnava, the pleasure of the heart of that Vaishnava is a blessing upon me. Because the Lord is sitting in the heart of that Vaishnava, because his Vaishnava is pleased, the Vaishnava's heart is filled with pleasure, and within the heart Krishna is sitting, and the room is filled with pleasure. Just like you put room spray, right, in a room, that entire room is filled with fragrance. Similarly, the entire room of a devotee's heart is filled with pleasure, filled with satisfaction, filled with happiness because of this person's service. And Krishna sitting there in that room of devotee's heart, he will profusely bless the devotee who happened to please this devotee. So, in short, blessings are beyond the giver in the sense that when the blesser has a sincere heart, when the one who is offering blessing sincerely desires the well-being of the person whom he is blessing, that desire itself is a blessing, because that desire is noted by the Lord and the Lord will fulfill that desire. This person may not have it. He may not have the capability to fulfill that desire. He may not have the capacity to bestow that blessing upon the blessing seeker. But because he wants that blessing seeker to receive that blessing, the Lord will note the desire of this great devotee and fulfill that desire and offer that blessing. Ultimately, all blessings come from the Lord. And the blessing giver is an instrument in the Lord's hands. And actually, the Lord is an instrument in the hands of the blessing giver. How? Because the quote-unquote blessing giver is desiring the well-being of the blessing seeker. So the Lord, being an instrument of this devotee, he fulfills his wish. This devotee wishes, let this devotee get this blessing. This devotee A is desiring that devotee B should get this blessing. And devotee A does not have the capacity. So Lord has to fulfill it. When a child asks the mother or father, I want that toy, child has no ability to purchase it for oneself or for a friend. Parents have to fulfill it. For example, one child comes and tells the mother, my best friend is coming to our home today. You should give halwa to him. He likes halwa so much. And this kid does not have any ability to prepare halwa. But because he loves this kid, mother has to prepare halwa and feed the friend. Similarly, Krishna has to fulfill the desire of this devotee because he is desiring the welfare. So, blessing is basically heartfelt wish of another devotee. So, all we need to do is just please devotees by our service, by our behavior, by our attitude. And when they are pleased, we'll get blessings because they desire our well-being. They pray for us and Krishna will do the needful. Does it make sense, Prabhu? Maharaj, you want to add anything else? Okay. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu. 1, 2. You already asked one, I think. Okay. Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank you for this lecture. There are very small questions. That the Naam Na Akari Bhauta, what does it mean, Prabhuji?
The Lord has unlimited names. Bahudha, the Lord has multiple names, not just one name. That's what it means. And we discussed multiple types of names also, right? Mukhya Naam, Gauna Naam. Under Mukhya category, there is Madhurya Naam, Aishwarya Naam. Yes, Prabhu.
I would like to ask a question concerning Leela Dhruva Maharaj. Is it that him becoming emotional upon losing his brother and mother, is that Dhruva Maharaj is a pure devotee? Is that also Bhagavatam indicating that a pure devotee has a human side, that he goes into the battle, he considers social conducts that maybe should go into the battle to show I didn't envy them. But at the same time, it also puzzles me, thinking, oh, he's a pure devotee, he killed so many yakshas, leaving load sin upon him by killing so many souls, especially when he overdid it, when he got angry inside, where he kind of stepped over where he should have went. So this still puzzles me that he went made that.
If I understood the question correctly, how could Dhruva Maharaj become so overwhelmed? Does a devotee has a human side where he becomes emotional at the departure of some family member, or expectation that the devotee should not become so?
I think it's two questions in one. It's one, like, is it showing his human side, and the other question would be, he's a pure devotee, why did he kill so many yakshas and make that step kind of too far?
So, first part of the question is, it's not that devotees have that human side. By saying human, we may consciously or unconsciously mean that they are like ordinary conditioned soul, something like that. No. Devotees are having unlimited emotions in their hearts. Devotees are emotional, have to be emotional. Emotional is, they should have emotions. Not that they are overly emotional, they should have emotions. They are not overly sentimental, they should have sentiments. Ultimately, the goal of our sadhana is bhava, developing emotion. Emotion is towards the Lord, definitely. Emotion is towards devotees of the Lord also. Arjuna heard so much philosophy, Bhagavad Gita, throughout the 575 shlokas that Krishna spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was very attentively hearing, asking so many questions. But when Abhimanyu died in this battle, Arjuna became extremely emotional, uncontrollably emotional. But this does not indicate Arjuna's weakness of heart. Philosophy is meant to regulate our emotions, not kill our emotions. Philosophy is meant to channelize our emotions in such a way that we don't become dysfunctional by being emotional. Most people, when they are emotional, they become dysfunctional. They can't act. When their heart is overwhelmed with emotions, they can't perform their duties properly, isn't it? They can't focus on their activities. But Arjuna, he did not withdraw from the war. Before Kurukshetra battle, Arjuna became emotional. He became extremely emotional, compassionate towards his family members. He said, I will not fight. That emotion we don't want. But during the battle, when Ashwatthama died, Arjuna never said, I am not going to fight now. Why? My son died. I'm in trauma. I'm in great anxiety. I'm in sadness. How can you ask me to fight? I will not fight. I will go near the tomb of Abhimanyu and I will cry for the next 10 days. Remaining four Pandavas, you take care of the battle. He did not say that. So having emotions is important for a devotee. Devotees are not meant to be hard-hearted or stone-hearted. They should have emotions. Their philosophical understanding doesn't kill their emotions. But that philosophical understanding will regulate the emotions, channelize the emotions so that they don't become dysfunctional or inactive or give up their seva. When Krishna left this planet, when Krishna departed from this world, after Krishna's disappearance, Arjuna became extremely emotional. Yasya kshana vyogena loko hya priya darshanah ukthena rahito hyesha mritakah prochyate yatha. Just a moment of separation from Krishna will render all universes void. That is the extent to which Arjuna is feeling separation from Krishna. But Arjuna did not abandon his duty. When Arjuna became so emotional because of feeling separation from his friend Krishna after his disappearance, Arjuna recollected the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada writes, beautiful purport. In the first canto, 15th chapter, 6th shloka and many other shlokas, Prabhupada writes, beautiful purport. Arjuna remembered Bhagavad Gita instructions of Krishna and again embraced his sense of duty. Then he thought, okay, fine, Krishna departed. What are we supposed to do? Now, what's our next plan? Narada Muni indicated, you Pandavas can be around as long as Krishna is around. Now that Krishna concluded his pastimes, there is no need for Pandavas to be around. So what is our duty? We have to plan for our departure. We have to enthrone Parikshit Maharaj as the king of Hastinapur. We should retire. That's the plan. Arjuna did it. Arjuna did that service. So our emotions should not obstruct us from engaging in our services. That's the point. Right. You can read 4th canto, 10th chapter. Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport. When Dhruva Maharaj was so overwhelmed with emotions when his brother died, Prabhupada supports Dhruva Maharaj. Yes, what Dhruva did is correct. When his brother is unceremoniously, Prabhupada uses this word, when his brother is unceremoniously killed by the Yakshas, it was right on the part of Dhruva Maharaj to take an action, kill them, punish them. So, Dhruva Maharaj being emotional is appropriate in line with Vaishnava Siddhanta. When Draupadi lost her 5 sons, she was crying profusely. When Pandavas were in trouble, Kunti Maharani was crying profusely. So, our philosophical understanding should not make us insensitive or indifferent to the sadness or distress in our lives or in other devotees' lives. We are not here to become rock-hearted or stone-hearted or hard-hearted. But in such a situation, our dependence on Krishna, our prayerful attitude, the intensity of our absorption in remembering Krishna will increase. Supposed to increase. That's what pain is supposed to do to us. At the same time, that's an opportunity for us to realize that we are not the controllers. We are not the performers. We are not the doers. Situations are not in our hand. Situations are not in our control, but our response is in our control. Right? So, our philosophical understanding is meant to refine that response to the situations. We cannot randomly respond, impulsively respond to situations. All our philosophical understanding is meant to make our response more mature. Responding appropriately on the spur of the moment is a result of sincere sadhana, sincere shastric study and spiritual life, maturity in spiritual life. I hope that answers your question, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Any other question, Mathis? Yeah.
One more question.
Yeah,
second question also.
Oh, I forgot the second question.
why Dhruva was a pure devotee, but he killed so many Yakshas?
That was a mistake. Swayambhuvanu disapproved it. That's an important message for us. Even if you are a pure devotee, even if you have the darshan of the Lord, even if you are so advanced, there may be some situations where you may go out of your control. We have to be in the association of devotees. That's the whole point. But there is another finer nuance, simpler reason for it is, morning we discussed, people may perceive that if Dhruva does not respond to the situation, respond to the death of Uttama so violently like this, so aggressively like this, public may think that Dhruva is still holding some kind of envy or jealousy or some resentment towards Uttama. Just to remove that public perception, Dhruva had to respond like that. Okay. Thank
you. Prabhuji, karma part you also told morning that Kuvera told that that is
That's his perception. That is his perspective. See, one situation can be seen in multiple views, multiple perspectives with different personalities. If Kuvera said that is appropriate. If Dhruva goes to Kuvera and says, see, I am just an instrument in the hands of the karma of your yakshas, I never killed them. That is like too much. Dhruva should not think like that. Kuvera can think like that. That's what Kamsa did. Kamsa went to Devaki and Vasudeva and fell at their feet and said, I'm sorry, I killed your six children, but I'm an instrument of their karma. Because of their karma, they were killed by me. Which is correct, but you should not say like that. You should take responsibility. When you are supposed to take responsibility and apologize and admit your mistake and rectify the mistake, instead of justifying the mistake, and you just speak philosophy and ask them, yeah, keep quiet. This is philosophy. You should understand philosophy and keep quiet. You should tolerate all my mistakes. You're a Vaishnava. Okay, any other question, comment? Yes, Mother. You can decide who should ask the question. Yes, Mother, you can ask right in front.
Hi, Vaishnava. Thank you so much for me. Inspiring classes. I have a question regarding general opinion of some devotees when they reach the bottom and they encounter some conflicts between their rational mindset and like modern scientific perspectives and compared to the perspective of Srimad Bhagavatam, and this conflict drives them little bit away from the path. How can we serve them in these situations?
If we got it right, Bhagavatam presents certain perspectives. On the practical plane we have...
Bhagavatam gives us like absolute truth and a perspective. It's a kind of vision.
Ideal.
Yeah. Mm. But some devotees, when they read Bhagavatam, like for example, they come from scientific background, their rational mind cannot adopt
immediately.
Yeah, so how can we serve them in this regard? Like they see it as a conflict.
Our understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam is not just a product of our systematic study with intelligence, with taking notes. So yes, all this has to be done. We have to systematically study, we have to take notes, we have to hear, we have to ask questions, we have to seek answers, we can read commentaries, we can reflect, we can analyze, we can do mananam, we can do nididhyasanam, we can do pathanam. All this we can do and understand Shastra to some degree. But Shastric understanding is not just a product of our systematic Swadhyaya. It is also a product of our sadhana. When we sincerely chant, just now we were discussing, right? When we sincerely chant the holy names of the Lord, we'll understand deeper, finer nuances of Bhagavatam pastimes. See this? Atta eva nama matra vaishnavera dharma name prasphutita haya rupa guna karma. So, by chanting the names of the Lord, we'll understand deeper meanings of Bhagavatam pastimes. Second,
by sincerely serving Vaishnavas, we will understand deeper meanings of Bhagavatam. Vaishnava Seva is that circuit that converts the input of theoretical knowledge into output of practical realization. When we sincerely serve devotees and please devotees, then their blessings, their pleasure in the heart will help us understand Bhagavatam better than our study. Yes, we have to study definitely. But just our systematic study from an intellectual perspective, historical perspective, linguistic perspective, poetic perspective, and other multiple analytical perspectives will not give us the ultimate devotional perspective. It has to come by blessings. Therefore, Vaishnava Seva is important. Sadhana and Seva. And thirdly, Sadhachari is also important. When we have good behavior, when we have good attitude and good consciousness, and with that consciousness when we deal with other devotees, when they are pleased with our overall demeanor, their pleasure will help us understand Bhagavatam. Then Sangha. Bhagavatam is better understood in the association of devotees. Best understood in the association of devotees. I may sit in one corner with my table lamp, with my book and pen and paper, etc., and I read, I will understand something. But when I discuss with another devotee, then you can understand it better. So I have some friends in our circles. We have Madhav Gopal Prabhu, Gauram Bihari Prabhu. So with them, I discuss. They'll share their perspective and I share my perspective, and that way the understanding of that episode of Bhagavatam or Shloka Bhagavatam will become more refined in that Sangha, in that discussion. That's what Krishna said. Machitta Madgata Prana Bodhayantaha Parasparam. Bodhana is not only between a teacher and student. Bodhayantaha Parasparam. Between friends also there is Bodhana. Yesterday Maharaj was saying, why you have to restrict your discussion about Krishna within the retreat only? You can discuss outside also. As I said, right? So in our private conversations, personal conversations, there also if you bring in the culture of discussing about Krishna, no Zoom call, no mic, no video, no YouTube live, no Zoom live, just two devotees sitting together and discussing about Krishna for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. So that will intensify our understanding. So our understanding of Bhagavatam or any scripture is not just a product of Swadhyaya, it is also a product of our Sadhachar, Sangha, Seva and Sadhana. So they need some time. We also need a lot of time. We may understand something about some shloka now. After 5 years you revisit the same shloka, you will understand it better. Why? In these 5 years, you chanted 5 into 365 into 16 rounds minimum. You did so many services. Many devotees are pleased with you. And you read many other scriptures that intensify the understanding of this scripture. So there's, it's a continuous journey. We cannot say, I read once, whatever I understood is ultimate. We can elaborate this answer, but I don't want to delay the Leela Kirtanam now. Sorry, we'll conclude here. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.